Hey, thanks, Brad. Good morning to everyone. Hey, first off, I'd like to let you know, if you're experiencing any static on our stations this morning, blame the heat like you're blaming it on everything else. But we're having some atmospheric conditions due to just the excessive heat that we've had in the area. So you may experience a little static, but hopefully it won't last too long. We are recording this, and it will be available for streaming on KTLO.com immediately following. Shouldn't be any problems there on the stream afterwards. So just FYI, if you're listening on the radio this morning. I'd like to thank Mr. Brian Plumlee and Mr. Kevin Liddy for participating in our forum today. KTLO is honored to have you both, and we are very thankful to all of our listeners who have taken time to submit questions. In total, we received over 200 questions, 30 yesterday alone. I've read every single question received. Many were duplicates, and I've tried to combine them as best I could. So, this forum, like I said, this forum is being recorded and will be available immediately following on the conclusion, at the conclusion on KTLO.com. If you are listening live, Dakota's sitting here and she's monitoring Facebook for us this morning. You are can submit questions via Facebook. We'll do our best to touch on each of the topics presented to our candidates. We flipped a coin before we started this morning. Mr. Brian Plumlee, you won the coin flip and decided to go first, so the opening statement is yours.
I want to thank KTLO for hosting this forum. I'll start off by saying that I'm a conservative Republican who will always do what's best for the taxpayers of Baxter County. If elected as the next Baxter County judge, I will treat all citizens with fairness. I will have an open-door policy so that all Baxter County's people will have a say. I will use common sense solutions and apply business practices to our county government. I vow to fight for our rural fire departments, the sheriff's department, our county airport, and better roads. I will work tirelessly to build trust within Baxter County government and keep taxes low. We will work hand in hand with state agencies and state officials, along with other cities and towns in Baxter County, to accomplish our goals. I feel like we can accomplish more by working together. I won't always know or have the answers to everything. When I don't, I will admit so and dive into it. One of the pet peeves that I hear in government all the time is that, well, we've always done it this way. We have so many problems going on in our country right now. I believe it starts right here. I'm frustrated just like you, and I want the voters to know I see you, I listen to you, and I will fight for you. I'm running for judge because I want to improve our community. Early voting starts tomorrow, Tuesday, June 14th, and goes through the 20th. Election day is next Tuesday, June 21st. I'm asking for your vote. Thank you.
Mr. Kevin Liddy.
I'd like to start off by telling everybody good morning. And for those that don't know me, I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. Parents moved myself along with my two brothers and two sisters to Mountain Home in 1976. Graduated Mountain Home High School and remained here throughout. Did farm work on a couple different turkey and cattle farms over the years. Joined the Mountain Home Police Department in 1993. Held the rank of sergeant there since 2003. So for nearly 20 years, I've been in a supervisory position. I'm currently serving my sixth year on the Quorum Court. I have served on the Building and Grounds Personnel and Budget Committee. I've always strived to make the best decisions for the residents of Baxter County and take real personal interest in doing what is best for the employees. I have a good working relationship with all the elected officials, and I believe there is more to be accomplished by working together. Baxter County right now is very strong financially, and I will continue to do my best to improve our economy. My wife Brandy and I currently live in the Whiteville area. I have two sons, a daughter that live in the Baxter County, along with five grandkids that attend the Mountain Home Public Schools. I would like everyone listening today to ask for their support and their vote on June 21st. I'm Kevin Liddy.
Mr. Liddy, what are your qualifications to be judge?
Well, I think my law enforcement career has given me the ability to work with different groups and organizations, you know, over the last 28 years. I have a real, it's taught me how to deal with all walks of life, if you wish, to get things done, to improve things. I spent my life working in the city of Mountain Home, but by doing that, I'm working with the residents of Baxter County as well. So I've always had a good relationship through law enforcement, working with the folks, and I'd like to continue as your Baxter County judge.
Mr. Plumlee, your qualifications to be judge?
I believe that being city clerk for the last 12 years, just in working with the public, working with other elected officials, being in the administrative part of government, I understand personnel issues, administrative issues, budgets. During this time, I've also been in other leadership positions, such as running the Red, White, and Blue Festival, and was the Baxter County Republican chairman for 3 years.
Mr. Plumlee, what is the first thing you would like to see changed if you're elected county judge?
I would definitely like to see us with our roads and bridges. We're limited on budget, but I definitely would like to see if there's anything that we can do more efficiently with that. And I'd also like to see some more attention given to our rural fire departments.
So roads and bridges and fire departments.
Yes.
Mr. Liddy, what would be the first thing you would like to see changed if elected?
Well, I think Baxter County is moving in the right direction, and it has been the best I can tell in my 6 years on the Quorum Court. I think we have to, as a county, keep improving our infrastructure, roads, bridges, even keeping our right-of-ways clean because, Baxter County is a vacation destination. We want it to stay attractive. We want to keep people coming here and visiting our area, our lakes, rivers, and streams, and spending their money and going home. It's good, clean revenue that Baxter County has really taken advantage of in the last couple, 2 or 3 years.
Mr. Liddy, please name specific county employees you have reached out to during the campaign to familiarize yourself with them and the challenges they are facing.
Well, I've worked with all the elected officials for the last, going on 6 years as a Quorum Court, have a good working relationship with them. We all have our differences as human beings, but in the end, the taxpayers pay their salary. So in the end, as an elected official of any kind, I think you have to come to an agreement within a group to do what's best for your community.
Mr. Plumlee, how often in the past year have you spoken with other elected officials about their office and needs, and specifically, which ones?
I've spoken to several over the last year. Quorum Court members, some folks from Road and Bridge, specifically as far as other offices goes, elected officials. I've spoken with the assessor, the collector, the treasurer.
Mr. Plumlee, you are employed by the City of Mountain Home. How do you believe operating as a county official will differ from being a city employee?
I think it'll definitely be different for various reasons. You have different departments that you're over and that you interact with. More specifically, last year or this current year, the county has a budget of about $21 million. And the city obviously has a much bigger budget than that. So I think that's where it will definitely be different.
Mr. Liddy, you have a post on your campaign's Facebook page stating that you refuse to take part in any dirty campaigning. In recent weeks, there have been numerous postings on local Facebook groups made by fake accounts that appear to be created solely for the purpose of making unfounded and slanderous accusations against your opponent, Mr. Plumlee. Have you authorized or encouraged this behavior by your campaign or supporters? If not, will you publicly denounce this activity today and ask your supporters to refrain from this activity moving forward?
Well, as we all know, as we spoke before this started here this morning, Facebook's pretty evil. I've personally not been evil to any of the candidates up till now, and I won't be. I can't control what others do, just like Mr. Plumlee can't control what others do. It's been on both sides, and we can only speak for ourselves. We can't speak for others, and we definitely can't control them on social media. So I don't know how that could ever be stopped.
Will you denounce this activity today and ask for it not to continue?
I would like for it not to continue on my part. And, I've talked to some of them that's done it. As far as the phony, Facebook accounts, I don't know who they are. And it really doesn't matter. And because I'm not that way when I'm with you or when I'm with Mr. Plumlee, and both of you see that.
Mr. Plumlee, since late last week, much has been posted about you on social media. You have in turn said you were considering taking legal action because of the misinformation that has been spread. Would you like to take this opportunity to address any of these issues specifically directly with the voters?
I would just like to encourage people to not believe things they read on social media. And I would encourage the voters just to, listen to the issues that we're discussing right here, right now. things that are out of my own personal and county judge page on Facebook and on my website. But I would just encourage others, you know, we try not to read all that stuff out there. You know, like Mr. Liddy said, there's a lot of nonsense that goes on Facebook, and we just try to ignore it.
Will you be taking legal action following this campaign?
I can't say right now at this moment.
Mr. Liddy, good schools, economic development, and public safety are the three most important pillars of our community. What is your plan for improving all three?
Well, a lot of people ask me, you know, what qualifies you to be Baxter County Judge? Well, I think I have different qualifications than any county judge that's taken office over the last, you know, 20, 25 years. Everybody brings something different to the table. I believe my 28 years in law enforcement has given me the insight to be able to work with, you know, sheriff, police chief, 911, to have an understanding of a law enforcement and create safety in a community. And we live in a pretty safe community, but we got to continue to stay on top of things, make it safer, keep our schools safe, keep our kids safe. And I think a county judge with the law enforcement background I have would have a very good understanding in working with the officials I was just speaking of.
Mr. Plumlee, what issues do you consider to be the most pressing for Baxter County, and how do you plan to address them if elected?
I'd say specifically, you know, and I don't think there's just any one general issue. I think that roads and bridges, rural fire departments, you know, anything that we can do to help the sheriff's department are very important. Emergency management. I feel like, you know, most of the time in addressing these issues, you just have to dig in, dive into it, and ask questions and work with other elected officials in getting these things done. I think with roads and bridge, I really feel like that, you know, if we could have better drainage on some of these roads, I think that would definitely be a plus. There's some other ideas that I have, but, you know, mainly, just finding solutions and working with others will help, mitigate any, existing issues that we have.
Mr. Plumlee, currently Baxter County Courthouse is experiencing an array of issues, primarily water damage and mold. What plans do you have to fix these problems plaguing the courthouse if elected?
I think this is definitely a big issue that we need to fix. You know, that's our county courthouse, our county seat. So that's going to be on the top of my list of things to fix. I've received tons of complaints about it. And hopefully, you know, there's grants for historical buildings like that for the courthouse. And I believe here about 10 years ago, I believe the county received one of those historical grants to help fix it up. And here we are again, but it's something we'll definitely work on.
So you would go for grant funding for that more as opposed to the county budget?
I think that you're going to have part of the county budget in there. You know, it'd be great if you could have a 100% grant that would fix it. But most of the time, you're going to have matching funds in order to get the grant.
Mr. Liddy, there's been a large push on reviving the downtown area and some discussion of removing parking spots around the square to further that project. Several high-traffic Baxter County offices are also located on the square, including the County Assessor's Office, Collector's Office, Circuit Clerk's Office, County Treasurer's Office, and the County Judge's Office. How will removing parking spots currently be in use to help Baxter County residents, especially those of our senior population, continue to be able to access these offices easily?
Well, this parking spot you're speaking of are over on the west side of the square where they were talking about doing some low-lying landscape. There are parking spots, in my opinion, that are hard to use because of the traffic on 62. So they're on the west side of the courthouse, and they are hard to use. But I'm all for improving the downtown area and improving it and seeing it grow. If we had to, we could always turn the south side, east side or the north side of the square into strictly handicapped to accommodate those that need them parking places, which are a lot better, easier to get into and get out of than the ones along 62. So no more spots than you'd be losing there if they did do the landscaping area. I think it's about six right there, and I don't think it would hurt the square at all to lose them six spots, but we may have to turn more of our spots into handicap area.
Mr. Plumlee, based upon your previous responses during the last open forum, you seem more concerned with pushing the needs of the city over what is good for the county, such as pushing to remove parking spots needed used by county employees and basing your entire campaign on the nativity scene. How do you plan to reprioritize your goals for the needs of our county and separating those goals from the wants of the city government?
I'm not sure exactly how that necessarily pertains to city government, other than, you know, the city wanting to add some landscaping on the west side of the square, which I have not necessarily publicly commented on. I definitely think that's something that would be good for the downtown area, and I think that we can look into it. And as Mr. Liddy said, we can add, you know, handicap spots and whatnot to that area, and look for other solutions. But in terms of the nativity scene, I have not based my entire campaign around the nativity scene. That I'm not sure where that's coming from. I've had a handful of people say that, but that's definitely not true. We have other things to fix other than just the nativity scene issue.
Mr. Plumlee, what plans do you have for the tornado sirens?
We need to fix them. We definitely need to fix them. There's one, I believe, in Big Flat that is currently not working. There's some that I've received complaints from some citizens that they have a hard time hearing them, period. I really feel like we need to fix what we have that's not working right now, and eventually down the road look for a long-term solution towards all the sirens.
There's a follow-up to this question. At what cost would it be to the county to fix these sirens, and why spend that money as opposed to the alerts that everyone receives on their cell phones?
I don't know that everyone has a cell phone. You know, and you don't always have your cell phone with you. You may have it on silent. You may, for a variety of reasons, but the sirens definitely need to be fixed. In terms of cost, I could not tell you right now. I do not have that figure with me. But it's in terms of public safety, that's something we always have to look into and take that priority first and foremost.
Mr. Liddy, how do you feel about special elections?
That's a hard question to answer because I know, you know, special elections is a low turnout, just like the county judge's runoff here. It's going to be a low turnout. We need more people to get out and vote in special elections, and it's difficult for people to do it. And I don't know. It's hard to answer that question, but I know that we need to work on ways to get more voters out, and special elections is not the way to do it.
Mr. Plumlee, I'll ask you the same question.
I disagree with special elections. That's just my personal opinion. You know, it's normally a good way to, if you're pushing something, to get something voted in. But that's just my personal opinion. I disagree with them.
Mr. Liddy, if one of our area's seniors called you today for where they could go or receive help from the extreme heat we are experiencing, what would be your advice to them?
Well, we have the senior center. We have the courthouse. People can go and sit down in the courthouse. We got the youth center out near the senior center, which would allow people to escape from the heat. And there's some churches that would help out that helped out with the extreme cold we had. So there's places to go that we could always find somebody some help.
Mr. Plumlee, how do you feel about joint projects between the county and other local municipalities? And can you currently name one?
Yes. I do like them. I think it's a good thing anytime that we can work together with other municipalities. Recently, as a few years ago, the city joined with the county in doing Buzzard Roost Cutoff, which I think they did a very good job on both sides, and I think it worked out quite well.
Mr. Plumlee, you told the Ozark Patriots that you received death threats and a brick was thrown through your window. Is this true? And if so, when did it happen? And did you file a police report?
I have received death threats. A brick was thrown in my driveway. They missed. I did not file a police report. And I've received this question a little bit on the trail. Asking why I didn't, and for various reasons, but I want to stay on the issues. I just don't think that many people like hearing from a candidate who's complaining on the trail about this or that happening. And so anyways, we dealt with it, and we moved on from it, and we've been focusing on the campaign.
This question is for both candidates. Have either one of you donated your own personal funds to your campaign? Mr. Liddy, I'll start with you.
I donated $250 to my own campaign when I started. I had to open an account, and that was it.
Mr. Plumlee?
$5,100 to date.
Mr. Liddy, has anyone on your team at any point removed or damaged your opponent's signs?
No, absolutely not. I know a lot of that goes on, and in my years in law enforcement, I've dealt with that. Election time, every time it rolls around, I've dealt with that. No, absolutely not, and I would not encourage anybody to do that. It's criminal, so no.
For both candidates, do you always ask the property owner first before putting your sign up? Mr. Liddy, I'll start with you.
Everywhere I have a sign that I put up, I had permission. Now, there was, I handed out signs to supporters that I can't answer for them. I would assume they did. Most of the signs I handed out to my supporters were yard signs, so I think, most folks put them in their yards. But any sign that you see of mine in the city of Mountain Home or out in Baxter County, I had permission to put it there.
Mr. Plumlee?
Yes. I ask for permission everywhere I go.
Mr. Plumlee, you publicly stated you will bring the nativity scene back to the courthouse lawn. You cite the Seventh Circuit Appeals Court as your legal basis. Are you aware that Arkansas is in the Eighth Circuit and that the county would not be covered liability-wise if you should lose? Are you willing to put the county at potential risk of having to pay out hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of dollars? Secondly, if the nativity scene is allowed to be at the courthouse, will you also allow other faiths to put their symbols of faith at the courthouse?
So, yes, I do understand that we are in the Eighth Circuit. Just a little background on this. The Seventh Circuit ruled in a small town in Indiana that they could have their nativity scene back based on the historical value of Christmas. Not other religions, just the historical value of Christmas. This ruling was based on a Supreme Court ruling in 2019 in Maryland where a 40-foot cross was displayed on a public piece of property, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of it 7-2 based on the historical value. What I would like to see happen, and we get this a lot as far as in terms of, lawsuits and whatnot, and we have attorneys around the state that are willing to do this legal work for free, but I would like to see us have a ruling by the Eighth Circuit before going forward. And I think that we will get that ruling in our favor based on the precedent of the Seventh Circuit on their current ruling that they made previously.
So you're going to take it to the courts. If elected, you're going to take this to the courts.
I think we can get a ruling on it. And for no cost to the taxpayers, yes.
Okay. And then the second part of that question, if you do win and the nativity scene is allowed, will you also allow other faiths to put up their symbols at the courthouse?
I'm going to go based on the opinion of the ruling, and if it's based on the same way that the Seventh Circuit is, that faith would have to be surrounded by Christmas based on the historical value of Christmas. So, if it's, say, some satanic statue, that has nothing to do with Christmas. No, we would not allow that.
Who interprets that? Who decides that?
The court would.
Mr. Liddy.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah. Well, there's a follow-up question that was submitted for that. Do you see any issues or problems arising from Mr. Plumlee making this campaign promise to the voters of Baxter County?
I do, and I've spoken with a couple of attorneys, but the main one I've spoken to is our county attorney, David Etheridge. And, we can bring the nativity scene back, but if we do, we have to allow other religious groups to put their scene of Christmas up also. Now, we can limit the number of scenes that go on the courthouse square, whether we pass an ordinance through quorum court, whether it's 4, 6, 8, we can't disallow it to be cluttered with scenes of all sorts. So, I'm a Christian. I want folks to know that. I'm all about the nativity scene. I'd love to have it there. I'd like to have one on every corner. But as of right now, from with legal advice from the county attorney, if we do it, It may not be a battle we want to fight right now until we have more rulings, but I think if we did do it, we have to do it how I explained and limit the number, and it's got to be a Christmas scene. It can't be a Halloween scene. It goes up at Christmas, of course. So I would love to have it. I have good Christian faith, but we got to do what's right for the county, because I can tell you our insurance for the county paid the settlement last time, which was $60,000+. They're not going to defend us again.
Can I?
Yes, sir.
You know, once again, we have people that are willing to take this up for free.
Who are they? Out of curiosity.
7 attorneys that I've spoken to around the state. I have a list that I can provide folks. I respect Mr. Etheridge's opinion, and I would like to get with him and talk to him about that. But I think any time that there's been a ruling made by either the Supreme Court and the Seventh Circuit, you know, we have a precedent that I think that will, you know, that will be taken up by the Eighth Circuit and probably rule in the same way that they did in that small town in Indiana.
Have you addressed this issue with Mr. Etheridge?
No, we've not spoken about it.
Let's move on. Mr. Liddy, your opponent talks about you being a tax and spend guy. Why did you support the jail tax, and do you still feel the same way now?
Well, those that don't know anything about the jail tax, I did support it as a quorum court member. What we did, well, as a quorum court member, we forwarded it to the voters. The voters approved the jail tax. But those that don't know what the jail tax was, it was a 6-month tax that was collected to expand our jail to house our prisoners. Now, as bad as we hate housing prisoners, you know, we're going to have to do it. Our grandkids and their grandkids are going to house prisoners. So we needed a bigger jail. So we forwarded it to the voters. The voters approved the tax to build the jail. It was a 6-month tax. I mean, it was a good tax. As bad as we hate to say any tax is good, it was a good tax because it paid for the jail. It's paid for. Now, the operating quarter cents tax that's still in effect is, you know, every person that comes to Baxter County that spends a dollar pays that tax to help us house our prisoners. So what better way to take the burden off the citizens of Baxter County to house their prisoners than to have people that out, you know, being that we're a vacation destination, they come here and spend their money. They're helping us pay to house our prisoners. Takes a big, big burden off the Baxter County residents. So, you know, some has talked about me being tax and spend. I'm not tax and spend. I'm a very conservative person, but not all taxes are bad. The one to build the jail was good. I think the one that's maintaining the jail is awesome, just because everybody helps us pay to house our prisoners. And if every county could do that, their jail would be in the same shape ours is today. And our jail is in very good financial shape with a big surplus of money to take care of it.
Mr. Plumlee, do you feel there's... Oh, I'm sorry.
Could I... I've never said anything about the jail tax at all during this campaign. I mean, that's something that's...
That wasn't the question. The question was just a tax and spend guy. And then the jail tax was a follow-up to that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never, during this campaign, I've never come out once and said you named anybody in terms of labeling anyone like that. But as far as, like, the jail tax goes, I've never – I mean, that went to the people, and they voted it in.
Mr. Plumlee, do you feel there is wasteful spending in the county? And if so, specifically where and what?
I don't think so. I think that our elected officials try as hard as they can to turn in a fair budget each year and go by it. I'm sure that there's areas of the budget where, you know, not everything gets spent by the end of the year. But I think that's a good thing when elected officials don't spend everything that's in their budget. So, no, I don't think there is.
Mr. Liddy, I'll ask you the same question. Do you feel there is wasteful spending in the county? And if so, specifically where and what?
I've not seen it in my 6 years of being associated with county government. I think, once an elected official has their budget, approved through the budget committee and the quorum court, of course, has the final say. It's up to them how they spend their money. It's not up to the quorum court members or even the judge at that point, once their budget is approved, to micromanage how they spend it. So I haven't seen it. We had a huge carryover this year. I've just not seen any wasteful spending with my experience with county government.
Mr. Plumlee, what is your normal work hours? Are you in the office 40 hours a week?
I would say so. I work a lot of nights. I work a lot of weekends. This is something that has come up on the trail quite a bit I don't know why it has, but anyone can go to the City of Mountain Home website and see that, you know, it's a 40-hour-a-week job. As an elected official, you're never off the clock. I constantly receive phone calls and messages from citizens before work hours, after hours. Just a little background, you know, before taking the job, I was working at a bank here in town. Many folks asked if I really wanted to take that job at that point in time. There was a lot of controversy surrounding the job, but and being through six city councils, three mayors, I've gotten along with every single one of them. I feel like that I work very hard during this time. We've received the Volunteer of the Community Award numerous times, and with that community participation, I mentor at the high school, or have, and we also have had student shadows from the high school come to City Hall and shadow me. You know, the city logo you now see on the vehicles, I made that, but I feel like I definitely put in the time and work hard, and like I said, as an elected official, you're never really off the clock.
Mr. Liddy, not everyone is thrilled with the enormous growth that seems to be taking place in Baxter County. Do you have any plans to control the population growth or manage the amount of construction? For example, land use or green infrastructure planning?
No, I really don't. I mean, I think the growth that we've experienced in the last two and a half years has been good growth. You know, it's people coming here. They're buying property. They're buying all of our there's virtually no vacant residences in Baxter County. You can't find a place to rent. So the growth we experienced, people coming here, buying our real estate, buying our property, and paying our taxes. I mean, it helps us all, and that's a good, clean growth.
Mr. Plumlee, if elected, what authority will you have over the sheriff and his office, and how will you use that authority?
You really don't. He's an elected official like any other. When it comes to other elected officials, I'm not going to micromanage anybody.
Mr. Liddy, I'll ask you the same question.
Well, you can't. You can't micromanage. They're elected just like you are. Once you approve their budget, I mean, it's good. You got to have that working relationship because, you know, the judge controls the finances through the county. So, yeah, you've got to have a working relationship with all your elected officials and all your employees, period, in the county. So, once they're approved, they take care of their own office.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Plumlee, your election billboards and other materials state that you are a true conservative. Could you explain what true conservative means? Specifically, can you explain how being a true conservative would better serve Baxter County residents in terms of managing county budgets, managing county employees, and leading the county during weather-related emergencies or dramatic events?
I think being a true conservative is a good quality to have in running for county judge. I believe, you know, true conservatism has to do with lower taxes, fiscal responsibility, transparency. I'm absolutely proud to be a true conservative.
In that regard, a follow-up. What is your plan for reducing taxes as per your campaign ads?
I definitely think there's some areas that we can look at. I would like to talk to our state officials as far as sales tax goes. You know, right now I think it's 6.5 in the state of Arkansas. Their municipalities are very limited on what they can do with their sales tax because the state sales tax is so high. So I would like to at least start a dialogue with state reps and state senators, and, you know, it may go nowhere, but let's at least have the discussion on, you know, lowering that. I know that Huckabee Sanders is wanting to lower the income tax, or is wanting to get rid of the income.
She wants to get rid of it.
Phase it out. So I think that's something that can help the folks of Baxter County tremendously, not to mention the folks in the state of Arkansas.
How will that in turn affect property taxes?
That I could not tell you. I do not know.
Mr. Liddy, every month on KTLO, submit a question, not my own, don't worry. Every month on KTLO, I hear reports that the sales tax collected is higher than previous months and years. Last month, it was reported an almost 5% monthly rise compared to the last year. I suspect that this is at least in part due to prices on everything getting higher and higher. If legally possible, would you consider the sales tax rate being reduced, even if it is only a small percentage temporarily, to help people struggling during these tough economic times?
Well, number one, I don't like taxes like everybody else, but most of us know that it does take some taxes to make government operate. And I would support lowering it if we could. I would support doing away with them, period, if we could. But we can't. And I'm a conservative person, and with finances of my own. Now with the taxes, it's a difficult thing to deal with, but I like low taxes. I would like to lower them, but they are where they are. And these taxes that we're paying here in the city of Mountain Home, they're put in place to pay for something that the voters chose that they wanted, and that they're going to have to pay for that before the taxes can be lowered.
Mr. Liddy, how many county roads went from 9 foot wide to 12 foot wide and are ready to be paved? And how would you pay for paving county roads?
Well, we pay for them with our income. You know, the county paves roads every year. We can't pave them all in 1 year. But with our income, we ought to be able to start improving more roads at a little quicker pace, as long as the income stays where it's at. I'm all for improving every road in Baxter County. And out here on the campaign trail, I've not been asked to pave a road. I've just been asked to grade it a little more. And I think we as a county can satisfy a lot of our residents by grading them more. And when it comes to the time where we have the funds to pave them, then we'll pave them.
Do you know how many went from 9 foot to 12 foot wide?
Yeah, I don't have any idea how many went from 9 to 12.
Mr. Plumlee, do you?
I couldn't tell you. I don't think that statistic is out there.
How would you prioritize which roads to pave, Mr. Liddy?
Well, I think, in the past they've used traffic counters, and I think that's the best way to determine what needs paved. It's kind of like US 62 or State Highway 5. You know, they use counters when they want to redo them roads, or they want to improve them roads, or they want to widen them roads. So I've seen in the past the county use counters on roads. So let's use a traffic counter and see what the traffic count is on it.
Mr. Plumlee, do you have an answer?
Yes. So I've talked quite a bit on the trail about using a merit system when it comes to the roads. You know, how bad is the road? What kind of safety issue does it pose? How many people live on the road? How many people travel the road? And there's some of that goes on a little bit now. But I can just tell you this, if elected as county judge, my superintendent will be behind that merit system, and I will never tell my superintendent which roads to pave and which ones not to pave.
Mr. Plumlee, do you plan on making any changes to your department heads, road and bridge superintendent, maintenance superintendent, et cetera?
No, not when, I'm going to give everyone a chance. I think the worst thing a person can do is go in there and get rid of folks without at least first seeing, how well they're doing their job. I personally believe that. I think that going in there and getting rid of somebody instantly on day one is just a knee-jerk type of reaction. So, yeah, I think everyone that first year, until I can see it for myself, that would just be – it'd be crazy to get rid of somebody that soon.
Mr. Liddy, what would you do differently as it pertains to road and bridge?
I don't see that any changes need to be made as far as road and bridge at all. And I've talked to them, and I would never, just because I have the authority, let's make it clear, I'd never, as a county judge, because I have authority, get rid of someone or replace them with someone else just because I can. You don't do that to folks. If they do a good job, you let them do their job. And you're not only messing with them, you're messing with their livelihood and their wife and kids and everybody else. So I would never replace anybody just because I have the authority to do it, as long as they're doing their job.
One hugely popular county asset that wasn't discussed during the last forum is the Baxter County Library. The judge oversees the budget and the employees and confirmations of their board members. Do either of you have active library cards? Mr. Liddy?
I sure don't.
No. Mr. Plumlee?
No, ma'am.
Gentlemen, you need to go get your library card.
That's what my wife says.
Mr. Plumlee, the Old Baptist Church, which is one block off the square, I believe, the east side address is 213 East 6th Street. The county is the caretaker of this piece of taxpayer property. Unfortunately, the building is unsightly. The structure needs to be restored, raised, or secured. Mr. Plumlee, what are your plans for this structure?
I would like to see us at least get the building secured. Right now, there's broken windows in it. I've spoken to several contractors who believe that it can be repaired and restored. there's a lot of folks around the county that don't think it can, but I think that we can do that, and I definitely want to look into it. And I think that it's a historical building. It's vital to our community, and I definitely want to look into that early on if elected.
Mr. Liddy, about 20 years ago, scheduled airline service to the Baxter County Airport was canceled. There is now substantially more air travel demand here, and the Chamber of Commerce is seeking to restore service. As county judge, what will you do to restore scheduled air service to the Baxter County Airport?
Well, I've talked to several people about the airport, and I'll be the first to tell you I don't know a lot about the airport, but I've been learning along the campaign trail, and I know if we can, it's important to a lot of people that I've talked to that we improve our airport. So I think the city and the county has to come together and help them whichever way we can. And when I say that, it's going to be financial. But the city benefits a lot from the airport too, and they've not been in, I don't think, a whole lot of discussions with them out there from what I've heard. But I think we have to help our airport grow. We have to help it improve. And I know that as our population grows, that it's going to be more important to our residents coming here to have an airline service. And so I'm all on board with it, but I have a lot to learn when it comes to the airport.
Yes, sir.
In terms of the airport, I think it's a forgotten jewel that we can definitely utilize for the citizens of Baxter County and people coming here. Like Mr. Liddy, I'm somewhat unfamiliar at the airport, but I've been talking to some folks and asking questions. Currently, one of the projects that they're wanting to do is to extend the runway. Right now, the runway is about 5,001 feet long, where you have the water tower and the power lines where people are coming in from that side. It's actually, in terms of where they can land, it's about 3,000 feet. So if they're able to extend that, they can definitely, more airliners can come in and land in that area.
Not so much extended. They want to flip it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They're wanting to reposition it and extend it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Plumlee, the current airport administrator is leaving the position, and a new one will be in place when you take office. At present, the position is a low-paid, part-time, hourly job that requires knowledge and skills not supported by the available compensation. Will you work with the Airport Commission to be sure adequate employment resources are available to employ qualified airport management services for Baxter County?
Yes, I definitely will. It's my understanding that the gentleman that's leaving right now came out of retirement and I believe has been there the last 10 years. So he's definitely been doing us a favor, but that is that's something that we definitely have to make happen.
Mr. Plumlee, much has been discussed about the Quorum Court's decision to approve CARES Act funding for the Saddle Club. Before that decision, has any other organization come to the Quorum Court requesting CARES Act funding and been denied?
I don't know if anyone has been denied. I know that the food bank has received money. I know that our rural fire departments, I believe, received $128,000 for radios and $100,000 for washers and dryers to wash their turnout uniforms. I'm not sure that anyone has been denied yet.
Mr. Liddy?
No, to my knowledge, they haven't. And, I've caught a lot of grief over what we gave the Saddle Club. And I say we as a Quorum Court. Kevin Liddy's one vote out of 11. In 2020, we gave the food bank $200,000. We gave the fair board about $95,000. A couple of different installments to the fire departments, $94,000 for washers and dryers and another $128,000 for radios. So we've tried to help. When this money came to the county, and this is coming from Janae Mai as a treasurer, and I've spoke with her in detail about this, and she's very good at what her job. But when this money first came to the county, we thought it had to be given to nonprofits. We found out later on, after we had gave some to nonprofits, that it didn't be. It could be used for anything. But once we started that process, it was our goal to help these nonprofits. And with the grief that I'm catching, and as like I said, I'm one of 11 for the Saddle Club. Every dollar that we've gave these nonprofits has been invested in our community. So you know, between the food bank, the fire departments, the fair board, the saddle club, we've touched nearly every resident in some way or another that lives in this county, because most of them will use one of them four entities. So the Coram Court carried on, if you wish, the tradition that we started in helping out these nonprofits. So don't think for a minute Kevin Liddy's a tax and spend, because he's not. I'm a very conservative person. I can show you in my personal life that I have been.
Mr. Liddy, one of the questions we asked last time concerned the fire districts in Baxter County, the 19 rural fire districts around the county. What do you see are the top three most needed items for our fire departments?
Right now, it's people. Can't get them. Which, I mean, it's that way everywhere. A police department, we can't get employees. Fire departments can't get volunteers. Of course, you know, when you can't get somebody to come to work for pay, it's really hard to get them to come volunteer. I think it'll change. I think once we go through this transition that we're going through, I think people will start reaching out and volunteering again. And we've got to try to do things to entice them to come out. And I know it would be easier with pay, but they don't have the money there to do that. But I think once we turn this corner that we've been trying to turn for the last 2.5 years, I think people will start standing up for their communities, and they'll have no problem with the volunteers coming out and helping them again.
That was one thing. I asked you for three.
Okay, what was
the top three things needed by our fire departments?
Well, gear. Well, that's the top thing. The second thing would be gear. I mean, I hear a lot about the turnout. You know, they're expiring at a certain amount of time, and I can't remember the time, but they need gear, and I guess gear and equipment would be the same. So that's the two I can think of. The two top things. Of the fire departments.
Mr. Plumley, would you like to speak to the fire departments?
Yes. Like he said, you know, in speaking with the volunteer fire departments, people, it's a nationwide problem with volunteers right now. The turnouts is also a big deal. I think a set of turnouts right now runs about $2,500. So it's definitely not cheap. The other thing that I get quite a bit in listening to them is that the training hours keep on going up. So you have all these volunteers that, you know, the state and the federal government are regulating how much training they need to have, and the hours keep on going up, and it seems like it's a big frustration for the volunteers that are with the fire department. So, you know, maybe that's something that we can possibly work with our state officials to, you know, come up with, you know, some different hours of training. And another thing I'd like to look at, and this doesn't necessarily pertain to answering your question, but, you know, your ISO ratings. You know, right now the same criteria for an ISO rating for a full-time fire department at the city of Mountain Home is the same criteria that you may have out at the Tracy Ferry Rural Fire Department. To me, I think that you should have a different set of rules or criteria when it comes to an ISO rating. For your rural fire departments, which are primarily ran by volunteers.
Gentlemen, it's almost the top of the hour, so we now have time for closing statements. Mr. Plumley, I will start with you.
Well, I'd like to thank the voters of Baxter County for voting for me in the primary. Last time we received 44% of the vote, 3,427 of you came out and voted for me. And we just got to come back out here and vote one more time to get it done. Once again, I vow to fight for our rural fire departments, the sheriff's department, our county airport, and better roads. I definitely feel like that my experience in areas with leadership will help me with being the next county judge. And I also feel like that there's a lot that we can do to improve this community. I love Baxter County. I'm asking for your vote one more time in the runoff. Early voting starts tomorrow and goes through the 20th. Election day is on Tuesday, June 21st. Thank you.
Mr. Liddy.
I want to tell the listeners why I'm the best candidate for Baxter County Judge. I believe my 28 years of experience as a police officer has given me the ability to work with all types of groups and organizations. I've grown up in the county, and I've served in many capacities taking care of the citizens of Baxter County. I think having a background in law enforcement can and will be very, very beneficial to the citizens. It's given me an understanding of how to work with the sheriff, the police chief, fire departments, and 911, and other departments when it comes to protecting our community. It allows me to have a better understanding of how to protect our schools and our children. I have a very strong work ethic. not only work full-time for the city, but I also have a cattle business and own some rental property in our area, which has taught me how to manage and plan a budget. I work well with the current sheriff, the judge, and other elected officials. Judge Mickey Pendergrast endorsed me last week as his choice for Baxter County judge. I've also received a couple of verbal endorsements from the other judge candidates we had. Some feedback I've heard from voters is concerns that I can be persuaded by others. I want to assure you, the citizens of Baxter County, that I'm my own man, and I will govern based off what's right for our county and our citizens. And some talk about arrogance and cockiness from Kevin Liddy. Well, you know, I've lived my life defending the citizens of Mountain Home in Baxter County and defending myself. So maybe that's the police officer in me that comes out as being arrogant and cocky. Don't mean to be that way. I'm a very caring and giving person. And in closing, it boils down to experience, work ethics, and proven track record versus lack of experience. And I feel I'm the best candidate for the job. I ask for your vote in the runoff June 21st. Early voting starts tomorrow. Thank you. I'm Kevin Liddy.
To all those who took time to submit questions, I would like to thank you so much. It was interesting today. All the questions that we had were pretty much different than the first round of questions. So thank you to all of our listeners. As they said, early voting starts tomorrow and will run through next Monday. You can early vote at the courthouse. And then Tuesday is election day, and all your current polling locations will be available. Polls open at 7:30, close at 7:30, and we'll have the results on KTLO FM 97.9 on election day. Mr. Brian Plumlee, Mr. Kevin Liddy, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Heather.